I want to talk about the gospel, but there's one... it's the opposition to the word. Why? You see, what's going on here? Why would people get... And why would the Jews be jealous to just learn that their whole vocation as a people, guided for a millennium by God, is now fulfilled? And they are the light to the nations in Christ. Why are they so upset? But it's to be alert. Not everybody is thrilled to hear the good news. But we still have to tell everybody. That's an act of mercy. So you practice, right? One of the conclusions of the Mass is go forth and preach the good news. And everybody says, thanks be to God. Well, then you got to go out and preach the good news. Where? Anywhere. In your family? At the grocery store? You don't have to start by rattling your rosary and saying, do you believe in Christ? You know? Just start by saying hello. Make some crack about the grocery prices if you're in the grocery line. Just, you may not be the one who's got to win them over to Christ. Maybe God the Father has in mind there's got to be 120 hits on this person before they get it. And you might be 109, you know. You do your part, leave the rest to God. But if they start saying, oh my gosh, my family life is over, then get ready to preach the gospel. Now here in the gospel, as we're getting ready now to see, we've got just a couple of weeks to go and we have Pentecost. So the church has stopped the narrative part of John, the first 12 chapters, and moved into the instruction part, where our Lord gives all these instructions, all this teaching. 14, 15, 16, and 17. So here we are in 14, verses 7 to 14. And it's all about the relationship between the Father and the Son. And our Lord tells us, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, most of us, our reaction is like Philip. Oh, Lord, no, show us the Father. And he says to us just what he said to Philip. I've been with you so long and you still don't get it. I am the image of the Father. You see the love in my eyes. You see the Father. Do you understand? I was praying about this and thinking. We have that famous incident in John's Gospel. The woman taken in adultery. And Jesus forgives her. Who's that? That's the Trinity. That's the Father. Or look at the parables he tells us about the prodigal son, which is really the story of the generous father, really. And that father, the boy comes back, and all that the father does for that boy totally reinstates him, puts shoes on his feet. Slaves didn't wear sandals, but the best robe, the ring, which is a sign of belonging to the family, back into the family. Not a question. That's the Father. But you can keep praying until the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Father and the Son, begins to work in your lives. Because the climax of his action is what? Abba, Father. To know what that really means is a work of the Holy Spirit, because it produces in us that divine affection that Jesus has for the Father. And so, of course, we hunger and thirst to know the Father. But as Jesus is saying, you want to know the Father? Watch me closely. Listen to me closely. in that huge argument they have in chapter 5, you know, when he heals that man at the pool. And what does he say there? Look, in effect, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. I watch the Father. Everything he does, I do. From all eternity. So if you watch the way I act, you'll see the Father. And if you obey me, you see, I will lead you. If any man loves me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And I will love him. And I will show myself to him. And so, this act, so that when the Father himself is present to us, well, we know it. You see? And that's the source of the Trinity. There's nothing beyond the Father. We're at the top. And yet, we've always been there. Because Jesus is the image of the Father. When St. Thomas deals with this passage, he has beautiful commentary on John. It's in English now. And he says, why did Jesus say, if you see me, you see the Father? Because he is the perfect image of the Father. He's everything the Father is, except being Father, because he's Son. From all eternity. So, that's why our Lord says, Philip, I mean, look, don't you get it? Don't you understand who I am? I am here in my humanity showing you the Father's face. And more than that, the Father in me is doing these works. What works? All the miracles, all the love, all the mercy, all the words. The Father does these in me. Then he promises. I promise you, he says, you remember, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I do. In fact, he'll do greater ones. Now, what can that possibly mean? Jesus healed, say, 300 blind people. I haven't healed 300 blind people. How can I do greater work? I got to do at least 301. No. No. You see, it's not that kind of great. The Father is doing the works in me. How many times does he say that? We have no idea how they love each other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to show you. The Father's doing these works. Okay. Now, that means that the works reveal the Father. When I am transformed in my humanity and am with the Father, reflecting all that the Father is, and you do these works, they show the Father in a greater way. Because of what the Father has done for me. He has raised my humanity. He has clasped me to himself. And I am there in my humanity as I was and will be for all eternity. You see, this is the way when we study in school, we have a treatise, De Trinitate. And if you're lucky to get a good prof, and he takes it from somebody like Augustine or Aquinas, you're in luck. Otherwise, you get all this stuff. Here it is. This is De Trinitate. Who is the one that allows us to see Jesus, makes us see Jesus? The Holy Spirit. That's his whole reason. There's a great text in John as well, in the first letter, chapter 5. It says, you see, this is the one who came. Literally, the caming one, but we don't have that form of the verb. This is the caming one who came in water and blood, not just water. He wasn't just baptized and had the Holy Spirit come upon him. He went in water and blood. He poured out his whole blood for us. And the Spirit is the witnessing one. He came, the Spirit witnesses. Well, what does the Spirit witness to? All that the Lord came. So that reality of the act of love in which Jesus Christ died, and his whole heart was ready to break open with the love of the Father, and he died that way. You see? So he came in water and blood, and the Spirit is the one that makes it all real to us. He bears witness. That's a present participle. O martirun, he is the one who is witnessing to us right now in this liturgy. What is he witnessing to? That love between the Father and the Son. Who he is, Spirit. Well, we got to move on. But it's chapter 14. You can read it yourself. And be like Honi the circle drawer. You know my story about Honi the circle drawer. He was a rabbi, an old rabbi, a holy man. And so there was a drought. Boy, when there's a drought, I lived there 5 years, when there's a drought. See, the Feast of Sukkot is in the fall. And that's when they pour out the water as a prayer for rain, or used to, but they still have the feast. And all the Muslims are waiting to see if it's going to rain during Sukkot, because then we'll have rain. You know, you think, well, we hate each other, but I mean, he'll do something for them, and if it does it for them, it'll benefit us all. You see, it's a different world, isn't it? But anyway, he says, "What? You know, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me. Let him who believes come, and let him drink." Because he said this of the Spirit, which they would receive who believed in him. The Spirit was not yet, literally means the Spirit is poured out on the world. When he bowed his head and handed over the Spirit. And so this unbelievable work of love has come to dwell among us, and it dwell within us. And that's, so you see how the church is getting us ready now to get excited about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to pretend he's coming like he never came before. That's not what the church's prayer does. What the church's prayer does in the power of the Holy Spirit is make that mysterion present in a new way. So that the Holy Spirit will be present to the church and through the church to the world in a new way at Pentecost. We should pray for that. Pray for that. I mean, if the Spirit, if we listen to him and pray as he wants us to pray, then how many more people will know what it means to say Abba, Father, and know the freedom of that? And then when we see Jesus, we say, yeah, that's the Father. That's just who he is. I used to think, when I die, I'm going to take that parable. I'm going to rip it out of the Bible. Take that parable along with me to God. Say, well, look, you said it to me. So.